Chapter 22. He has no grandmother, my dear. Apostrophe, no, but I don't think Mrs. Boffin would like an orphan who squints so much. Apostrophe, that's true again, apostrophe, said Mr. Milvey, becoming haggard with perplexity. If a little girl would do apostrophe, but, my dear Frank, Mrs. Boffin wants a boy. Apostrophe, that's true again, apostrophe, said Mr. Milvey. Tom Bocker is a nice boy, thoughtfully. But I doubt, Frank, apostrophe, Mrs. Milvey hinted, after a little hesitation, if Mrs. Boffin wants an orphan quite 19, who drives a cart and waters the roads. Apostrophe, Mr. Milvey referred the point to Mrs. Boffin in a look, on that smiling lady's shaking her black velvet bonnet and bows, he remarked, in lower spirits, that's true again. Apostrophe, I am sure, apostrophe, said Mrs. Boffin, concerned at giving so much trouble, that if I had known you would have taken so much pains, sir, and you too, ma'am, I don't think I would have come. Apostrophe, pray don't say that. Apostrophe, apostrophe, urged Mrs. Milvey. No, don't say that, apostrophe, assented Mr. Milvey, because we are so much obliged to you for giving us the preference. Apostrophe, which Mrs. Milvey confirmed, and really the kind, conscientious couple spoke, as if they kept some profitable orphan warehouse, and were personally patronized. But it is a responsible trust, apostrophe, added Mr. Milvey, and difficult to discharge. At the same time, we are naturally very unwilling to lose the chance you so kindly give us, and if you could afford us a day or two to look about us, you know, Margareta, we might carefully examine the workhouse, and the infant school, and your district. Apostrophe, to be sure. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the emphatic little wife. We have orphans, I know, apostrophe, pursued Mr. Milvey, quite with the air, as if he might have added, in stock, apostrophe, and quite as anxiously as if there were great competition in the business and he were afraid of losing an order, over at the clay pits. But they are employed by relations or friends, and I am afraid it would come at last to a transaction in the way of barter. And even if you exchanged blankets for the child, or books and firing, it would be impossible to prevent their being turned into liquor. Apostrophe, accordingly, it was resolved that Mr. and Mrs. Milvey should search for an orphan likely to suit, and as free as possible from the foregoing objections, and should communicate again with Mrs. Boffin. Then, Mr. Boffin took the liberty of mentioning to Mr. Milvey that if Mr. Milvey would do him the kindness to be perpetually his banker to the extent of a £20 note or so, apostrophe, to be expended without any reference to him, he would be heartily obliged. At this, both Mr. Milvey and Mrs. Milvey were quite as much pleased, as if they had no wants of their own, but only knew what poverty was, in the persons of other people. And so the interview terminated with satisfaction, and good opinion on all sides. Now, old lady, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, as they resumed their seats behind the hammer-headed horse and man. Having made a very agreeable visit there, we'll try Wilfer's. Apostrophe, it appeared, on their drawing up at the family gate, that to try Wilfer's was a thing more easily projected than done, on account of the extreme difficulty of getting into that establishment. Three pulls at the bell producing no external result, though each was attended by audible sounds of scampering and rushing within. At the fourth tug vindictively administered by the hammer-headed young man, Miss Lavinia appeared, emerging from the house in an accidental manner, with a bonnet and parasol, as designing to take a contemplative walk. The young lady was astonished to find visitors at the gate, and expressed her feelings in appropriate action. Here's Mr. and Mrs. Boffin. Apostrophe, apostrophe, growled the hammer-headed young man through the bars of the gate, and at the same time shaking it, as if he were on view in a menagerie. They've been here half an hour. Apostrophe, who did you say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Miss Lavinia. Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, returned the young man, rising into a roar. Miss Lavinia tripped up the steps to the house door, tripped down the steps with the key, tripped across the little garden, and opened the gate. "Pleased to walk in," said Miss Lavinia, haughtily. "Our servant is out." Mr. and Mrs. Boffin complying, and pausing in the little hall until Miss Lavinia came up to show them where to go next, perceived three pairs of listening legs upon the stairs above. Mrs. Wilfer's legs, Miss Bella's legs, Mr. George Sampson's legs. "Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, I think?" said Lavinia, in a warning voice. Strained attention on the part of Mrs. Wilfer's legs, of Miss Bella's legs, of Mr. George Sampson's legs. "Yes, miss. If he will step this way down these stairs, I'll let ma know." Excited flight of Mrs. Wilfer's legs, of Miss Bella's legs, of Mr. George Sampson's legs. After waiting some quarter of an hour alone in the family sitting room, which presented traces of having been so hastily arranged after a meal that one might have doubted whether it was made tidy for visitors or cleared for blindman's buff, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin became aware of the entrance of Mrs. Wilfer, majestically faint, and with a condescending stitch in her side, which was her company manner. "Pardon me," said Mrs. Wilfer, after the first salutations, and as soon as she had adjusted the handkerchief under her chin, and waved her gloved hands, "to what am I indebted for this honor? To make short of it, ma'am," returned Mr. Boffin, "perhaps you may be acquainted with the names of me and Mrs. Boffin, as having come into a certain property." "I have heard, sir," returned Mrs. Wilfer, with a dignified bend of her head, "of such being the case." "And I dare say, ma'am," pursued Mr. Boffin, while Mrs. Boffin added confirmatory nods and smiles, "you are not very much inclined to take kindly to us?" said Mrs. Wilfer. "'Twere unjust to visit upon Mr. and Mrs. Boffin, a calamity which was doubtless a dispensation." These words were rendered the more effective by a serenely heroic expression of suffering. "That's fairly meant, I am sure," remarked the honest Mr. Boffin. "Mrs. Boffin and me, ma'am, are plain people, and we don't want to pretend to anything, nor yet to go round and round at anything, because there's always a straight way to everything. Consequently, we make this call to say that we shall be glad to have the honor and pleasure of your daughter's acquaintance, and that we shall be rejoiced if your daughter will come to consider our house in the light of her home equally with this. In short, we want to cheer your daughter, and to give her the opportunity of sharing such pleasures as we are a-going to take ourselves. We want to brisk her up, and brisk her about, and give her a change. That's it." Said the open-hearted Mrs. Boffin. "Lor, let's be comfortable." Mrs. Wilfer bent her head in a distant manner to her lady visitor, and with majestic monotony, replied to the gentleman. "Pardon me. I have several daughters. Which of my daughters, am I to understand, is thus favored by the kind intentions of Mr. Boffin and his lady? Don't you see?" The ever-smiling Mrs. Boffin put in. "Naturally, Miss Bella, you know." Said Mrs. Wilfer, with a severely unconvinced look. "My daughter Bella's accessible, and she'll speak for herself." Then opening the door a little way, simultaneously with a sound of scuttling outside it, the good lady made the proclamation, "Send Miss Bella to me." Which proclamation, though grandly formal, and one might almost say heraldic, to hear, was in fact enunciated with her maternalized reproachfully glaring on that young lady in the flesh and in so much of it, that she was retiring with difficulty into the small closet under the stairs, apprehensive of the emergence of Mr. and Mrs. Boffin. "The avocations of R.W., my husband," Mrs. Wilfer explained, on resuming her seat, "K. keep him fully engaged in the city at this time of the day, or he would have had the honor of participating in your reception beneath our humble roof. Apostrophe, very pleasant premises. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mr. Boffin, cheerfully. Pardon me, sir, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Wilfer, correcting him, it is the abode of conscious though independent poverty. Apostrophe, finding it rather difficult to pursue the conversation down this road, Mr. and Mrs. Boffin sat staring at midair, and Mrs. Wilfer sat silently giving them to understand that every breath she drew required to be drawn with a self-denial rarely paralleled in history, until Miss Bella appeared, whom Mrs. Wilfer presented, and to whom she explained the purpose of the visitors. I am much obliged to you, I am sure, apostrophe said Miss Bella, coldly shaking her curls, but I doubt, if I have the inclination, to go out at all. Apostrophe, Bella. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mrs. Wilfer admonished her. Bella, you must conquer this. Apostrophe, yes, do what your ma says, and conquer it, my dear, apostrophe urged Mrs. Boffin, because we shall be so glad to have you, and because you are much too pretty to keep yourself shut up. Apostrophe with that, the pleasant creature gave her a kiss, and patted her on her dimpled shoulders. Mrs. Wilfer sitting stiffly by, like a functionary presiding over an interview previous to an execution. We are going to move into a nice house, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, who was woman enough to compromise Mr. Boffin on that point when he couldn't very well contest it, and we are going to set up a nice carriage, and we'll go everywhere and see everything. And you mustn't, apostrophe seating Bella beside her and patting her hand, you mustn't feel a dislike to us to begin with, because we couldn't help it, you know, my dear. Apostrophe, with the natural tendency of youth to yield to candor and sweet temper, Miss Bella was so touched by the simplicity of this address that she frankly returned Mrs. Boffin's kiss. Not at all to the satisfaction of that good woman of the world, her mother, who sought to hold the advantageous ground of obliging the Boffins instead of being obliged. My youngest daughter, Lavinia, apostrophe said Mrs. Wilfer, glad to make a diversion, as that young lady reappeared. Mr. George Sampson, a friend of the family, apostrophe, the friend of the family, was in that stage of tender passion which bound him to regard everybody else as the foe of the family. He put the round head of his cane in his mouth, like a stopper, when he sat down, as if he felt himself full to the throat with affronting sentiments. And he eyed the Boffins with implacable eyes. If you like to bring your sister with you, when you come to stay with us, apostrophe said Mrs. Boffin, of course we shall be glad. The better you please yourself, Miss Bella, the better you'll please us. Apostrophe, oh, my consent is of no consequence at all, I suppose? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Lavinia. Lavi, apostrophe said her sister, in a low voice, have the goodness to be seen and not heard. Apostrophe, no, I won't, apostrophe replied the sharp Lavinia. I'm not a child, to be taken notice of by strangers. Apostrophe, you are a child. Apostrophe, I'm not a child, and I won't be taken notice of. Bring your sister, indeed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Lavinia. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Mrs. Wilfer. Hold. I will not allow you to utter in my presence the absurd suspicion that any strangers I care not what their names can patronize my child. Do you dare to suppose, you ridiculous girl, that Mr. and Mrs. Boffin would enter these doors upon a patronizing errand, or, if they did, would remain within them, only for one single instant, while your mother had the strength, yet remaining in her vital frame, to request them to depart? You little know your mother, if you presume to think so. Apostrophe, it's all very fine, apostrophe Lavinia began to grumble, when Mrs. Wilfer repeated. Hold! I will not allow this. Do you not know what is due to guests? Do you not comprehend that in presuming to hint that this lady and gentleman could have any idea of patronizing any member of your family I care not which you accuse them of an impertinence little less than insane? apostrophe apostrophe, never mind me and Mrs. Boffin, ma'am, apostrophe said Mr. Boffin, smilingly. We don't care. Apostrophe, pardon me, but I do, apostrophe returned Mrs. Wilfer. Miss Lavinia laughed a short laugh as she muttered, yes, to be sure. Apostrophe, and I require my audacious child, apostrophe proceeded Mrs. Wilfer, with a withering look at her youngest, on whom it had not the slightest effect, to please to be just to her sister Bella, to remember that her sister Bella is much sought after, and that when her sister Bella accepts an attention, she considers herself to be conferring quite as much honor, apostrophe this with an indignant shiver, as she receives. Apostrophe, but, here Miss Bella repudiated, and said quietly, I can speak for myself. You know, ma, you needn't bring me in, please. Apostrophe, and it's all very well aiming at others through convenient me, apostrophe said the irrepressible Lavinia, spitefully, but I should like to ask George Sampson what he says to it. Apostrophe, Mr. Sampson, apostrophe proclaimed Mrs. Wilfer, seeing that young gentleman take his stopper out, and so darkly fixing him with her eyes as that he put it in again. Mr. Sampson, as a friend of this family, and a frequenter of this house, is, I am persuaded, far too well bred to interpose on such an invitation. Apostrophe, this exultation of the young gentleman moved the conscientious Mrs. Boffin to repentance for having done him an injustice in her mind, and consequently to saying that she and Mr. Boffin would at any time be glad to see him, an attention which he handsomely acknowledged by replying, with his stopper unremoved, much obliged to you, but I'm always engaged, day and night. Apostrophe, however, Bella compensating for all drawbacks, by responding to the advances of the Boffins, in an engaging way, that easy pair were on the whole well satisfied, and proposed to the said Bella, that as soon as they should be in a condition, to receive her in a manner. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.